ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we completed the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It is called Madhukanda or Upadesha Kanda also, and that is the very foundation, the essence of the entire Upanishad. And as we discussed earlier, the scripture adopts a particular methodology to guide people like us. First, it accepts that what you are experiencing, that you are the body and mind, that you are in this creation of God, is absolutely true, real, satyam. But slowly, it says, whatever is changing cannot be relied upon. And in your experience, the world is changing, the body is changing, the mind is changing, and everything is changing. And this we have seen in the sixth section of the first chapter. The whole universe is nothing but a form, a name, and action. All the three together is called our personality, and especially our physical body. And most of the time, most of us, almost every one of us, are identified with the body. This identification with the body is called satyam, because that is our reality, not the ultimate reality. And if we can somehow lift our mind, detach ourselves from this idea of body, identity with the body, then we achieve almost immortality, relative immortality, that is called Amrita. And once we understand how we can detach ourselves, then we become wiser. Then gradually, progressively, step by step, so detaching ourselves from the body, identifying with the next sukshma, that is subtle body, which is called pranamaya sharira, then rising from there, detaching ourselves, identifying with the mind, then identifying with the buddhi, intellect, then identifying with the anandamaya kosha. Finally, we have a crystal clear glimpse of what is Brahman. Or to put it the same thing, panchakoshas, from the identity with the sthula sharira, we must identify with the sukshma sharira, then identify with the karana sharira, then we disidentify even from the causal body, and then we understand we are none other than Turiya, that supreme reality. So that much we have seen, and that is called Adhyaropa. First accept the reality of the creation, then slowly take us step by step, and that is how we grow. This is called evolution. So in order to make us understand how to guide us from a lower step to a higher step, the second chapter had started. This second chapter has got three brahmanams, and as I mentioned, brahmanam means sections, and the first section is the longest section, because here we have been taught in the form of a dialogue, very interesting dialogue, and this dialogue is in the form of a story between King Ajatashatru and a Brahmin, bright, well-learned, well-spoken boy called Gargiya. So, this through this dialogue, what the Upanishad wants to tell us, that you go on doing several upasanas. In fact, 12 special upasanas are given. As I said, as we discussed earlier, what is a upasana? That is expanding ourselves from a small individual identity to a larger whole. In fact, from this body idea to the idea of Devata, God, presiding God. From the individuality to the universality. From the microcosm to the macrocosm. That is the goal. Whether a person adopts the Advaitic method of Neti Neti, which also we will get in this particular second chapter, but the earlier method is through the path of this and this. The purpose of every contemplation is to completely disidentify with our body and mind and identify ourselves with Saguna Brahma. That is the very first step. This is also called the path of iti iti, this this, as contrasted with neti neti. And I wanted to remind you at the very beginning, Swami Sharadananda Ji Maharaj had written the book Sri Ramakrishna, the Great Master. And this book is not a mere biography of Sri Ramakrishna, but it is a beautiful commentary on the very meaning of this scripture. Sri Ramakrishna is nothing but a scripture. His life is a scripture. His teachings are scriptures. And we have to understand him properly. So while there is a historical fact that is called the life of Sri Ramakrishna, separately published, where only historical facts have been brought together chronologically, whereas the Sri Ramakrishna Great Master weaves in and out, so past and present, there is a special methodology how he has written that one. He did not write it in a step-by-step manner. First he wrote something, maybe he has gone back and written something, gone into the future and wrote something, again came back. The purpose is not to present us with a historical biography, but how Sri Ramakrishna grew through his sadhana, how his life becomes a beacon light for us all to understand the true spirit of the scripture. So therein, at the very beginning, at about 90th page, Swami Sharadananda describes how one can attain Brahman through the path of iti iti. And he crystal clearly tells us there are two paths. One is called iti iti, and this is the path of the devotee. Another is called the path of the neti neti. And both take us to the same goal. The path of iti iti, this and this, usually adopted by bhaktas, devotees, called bhakti marga, karma marga. Whereas the path of neti neti is adopted by the jnanis and yogis through chitta vritti nirodha. One is positive from the beginning. Another is gradually sublating the positive with the negative until we deny completely or rise above the three bodies, gross, subtle and causal, or rise above the beyond, and go beyond the panchakoshas. Very briefly I want to mention how this happens, because it is one of the most interesting discussions and it opens a world of intuitive ideas. Swami Sharadananda is, I am condensing his writing in a very easy manner. Imagine there is a devotee. He adopts the path of bhakti and then he goes on meditating. At first, you know, he thinks, I am imagining the image of the form as given in the, through various descriptions. Vishnu looks like this. He has four hands and he has got four different weapons in the four, and a lotus flower, etc. in his hands. He stands on the lotus flower. You can apply this to every god and goddess, Lakshmi Devi, Saraswati, etc., etc. So he meditates. The devotee is intensely aware, I am the body and mind, but at the same time, he also understands that my God is something very subtle as contrasted with the physical reality. But as I go on meditating, at first a lifeless figure appears, first only a small part, maybe legs, maybe hands. Gradually, he sees the whole figure. And if you study this great master, that is how Sri Ramakrishna also advanced. And after lot of practice, he sees the whole figure, but lifeless. After some time, slowly a smile appears on that figure. It comes out alive. So that is how the chosen deity becomes complete figure, alive, very pleased, looking with great, tremendous grace, and highly pleased with the devotee's devotion. And then slowly an interaction takes place, and God and the devotee start talking with each other. So more time passes, more intensity of sadhana, and the relationship becomes deeper and deeper. And now comes the psychological analysis of what Swami Sharadaranji does it. A most beautiful explanation. He says the sadhaka, the spiritual aspirant, realizes, you see, at first I was imagining my chosen deity, and as my concentration deepens, I could see very clearly one part, then another part, later on total figure but lifeless, later completely alive, smiling, bestowing gracious looks upon me, talking to me, fulfilling my desires. So I have been imagining him, and now he has become real to me because of my intense imagination over a period of time, short or long. Then that idea also brings in, I thought this world was real. Maybe just as I imagined my Ishtadevata is real, so same way the reality of the world also is created by my mind. Maybe it is not real. So then the man understands. Everything depends upon our imagination. You imagine one way and you experience one way. Imagine another way, experience in another way. Imagine positively, experience everything positively, happily. Imagine another way, everything will be in a different way. I am reminded, I heard about a small game people used to play. Of course, I never knew about it, but later on I came to know. In villages, these games are invented. So, some boys are playing there, and a small coin, rupee coin or one anna coin is brought. And then what happens? One boy is chosen. He is asked to close his eyes, and then the coin is pressed against his forehead very firmly for some time. He feels the pressure, and then the boy who is putting it on his forehead says, now it is completely attached to your forehead. Now the game starts. You will have to get rid of it with closed eyes, remember. But after pressing for some time, he adroitly removes the coin, but the boy still feels the pressure. and still thinks the coin is there. So he adopts various methods, jumping up and down, shaking his head to get rid of it. But he can't get rid of it. Why? Because firmly it is implanted in his mind that this person had pasted it, gummed it to my forehead, and imaginary pressure will be there. Earlier it was fact. The pressure was a fact. But now it is a imaginary pressure. So he goes on jumping up and down. If he can throw that coin out, then he will get a small prize. He will get that coin. Otherwise, he will have to pay from his pocket. So this is the game. Now what I wanted to illustrate through this story, through various janmas, we have been looking at the world and we have been interpreting it. Then we are trying to understand. So this is the reality. Even though it is changing every second, but the impression that it is real, it is not unreal, that continues. But through this path of meditation on the chosen deity, the mind of the spiritual aspirant clearly understands, I have been deliberately meditating upon my chosen deity and I made it complete and then I attributed to it life. Then it is smiling, it is talking to me. This is all my imagination. If this be true, my understanding of the world, that it is also Satyam, might it not be my own imagination? And once a person achieves this one, then some magic miracle happens. Then if I can develop the another imagination, this world is nothing. And let me elaborate with a small example. A man thinks, if I can get this woman, I will be very happy person. Is it a fact? Or is it just his imagination? Kalpana. Just like our dream. Yes, it is also a kalpana. Because as we see, no object contains something called happiness. Because the same person, same so-called beautiful woman or man, can create opposite reactions in other people. So when an object is thought of variously by various people, what is the truth about that object? That is the point. With regard to any object in this world, there are opposing views. Some say it is wonderful, some say it is the most horrid thing in the world. Everything depends upon their imagination and also experience. So the spiritual aspirant comes to the conclusion that everything is an imagination. Then what is the truth? I am the truth. I am the Brahman. I am the truth. This is the only reality. Because anything imaginary is just imaginary. This is the essence of how a sadhaka attains to the highest truth. Aham Brahmasmi means what? I am Satyam. This is the only truth. I am Jnanam. I am the only one. Ekam Advitiyam. That is called Anantam. Because I am the only one. And I am of Ananda Swarupa. So why did I narrate this one? With regard to this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, especially, because this here, the story goes that this Brahmin boy, he comes to the king with the idea that I am well learned and I want to teach this king. The king is ignorant. I am knowledgeable. So king is a good person. He is well known for his generosity. So being in possession of this wonderful knowledge, I must teach him so that he can also progress. He can do much more good to the world. So that is why I referred. So what was taught here? There are 12 upasanas are taught. All are upasanas. How is a alambanam, a small thing is taken and identified with the larger whole. An individual is imagined to be universal. As an example, because once we understand the essence of it, it will be a breeze over just to understand the other. There are 12 upasanas beginning from the second mantra. So, for example, and this is related to the triangle I mentioned so many times, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika. Adhyatmika means me, the individual. I have an I. What does it do? It has the power to experience forms and colors. But the power of my I, individual power of my I, is limited. So, now, Devata. What is Devata? Universal power of every power of perception or seeing is called Devata, God. So, Surya Devata, that is the universal God of the power of seeing because he emits light. Light means knowledge. So, without light, my eye cannot function. This only is an example. If I can contemplate, my eye is nothing but Surya Devata. I am forgetting the limited individual I or the power of perception and identifying, merging it with the Aditya. Then my whole vision will change. What does it change? So once I succeed in it, then I can transfer the same thing to other organs. My ear is individual, but Akasha is the Devata. My mind is individual, the moon is the Devata, etc. So take the Vyasti, the individual, and make it universal, Samashti. Then the individuality melts away, revealing its universal nature, and that is becoming one with the Saguna Brahma, or qualified Brahman. And once I reach there, then I realize that the Saguna Brahma is none other than Nirguna Brahma only. The manifest is but manifestation of the unmanifest, expression of the unmanifest. That is why I told you earlier, through the path of this, I am not only this individual I am the universal I. I merely expanded my I without any limitation. But it is the path of this expansion of this. And then finally I find I am one with the universal, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara, by whatever name you call it. Usually we call it God. For most religions, God means Saguna Brahma. He is the creator. Creator is always Saguna Brahma in Vedanta, in Hinduism. But once we identify that I do not exist, everything is Brahman. This is beautifully expressed in a very clipped manner in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we are all familiar, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagnau, Brahmanahutam, Brahma eva tena gantavyam, Brahma karma samadhina. That is, transform each individual component of this creation into its universal aspect, which is called Brahman. What is offered is Brahman. A person who is offering is also Brahman. And what it is offered into is also Brahman. Everything is nothing but Brahman. Such a person attains the highest samadhi, and it is called Brahma Karma Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, through the pathway of karma, karma yoga. So, this is the essence of this first section at least. Then we will come to something very interesting. Same idea is explored next. This king later on teaches. He becomes the teacher, and then he teaches that real individual is none other than Brahman, who is beyond the waking dream, dreamless experience. The idea that we explored in the Mandukya Upanishad, has been reiterated in the one of these Brahmanas in this particular second chapter. That is how through the path of iti iti one attains to Brahman. In fact, even those who can say neti neti, they can't start from the beginning with neti neti, only step by step. How does it happen? We have seen how it happens in the Taittiriya Upanishad, especially at first saying iti iti. This body is Brahman. Annam Brahmeti Vyajanat. That very same person later on glimpses something subtler, more pervading, and he says, until now what is called Annabrahma, Annam Brahma, now becomes denied. No, not this. And he identifies with the prana. So on, so forth, until he reaches Anandam, which is beyond Anandamaya Kosha. So this, if you can keep this introduction in your minds, it will be very easy for us to understand the essence of this second chapter. In fact, I would dare say, the whole Upanishad, any Upanishad, any scripture for that matter. So, the second chapter in this, it has got three sections. The aim is the same. So, this second chapter starts with a beautiful story. There was a king of Kashi called Ajatashatru who was a knower of Brahman. And there was a Brahmin boy called Gargya from Garga's lineage. And he was well learned, a very intelligent person, but a great spiritual sadhaka. He had been practicing various contemplations called upasanas. The word upasana cannot really be translated properly. So he thought he had reached the goal. Somehow he had mistaken that he has reached the goal. Like one of the disciples of Swami Brahmanandaji, doing austerities, practicing austerities at Rishikesh, thought that he attained samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi. Then his guru, when he visited Kankhal Ashrama, a disciple came to pay his respects to his guru, and the guru looked into his eyes, later on remarked, it has nothing to do with samadhi. He had some higher experience, a vision. But this is how many people mistake. So like that, this Gargya also had mistaken that he reached the goal. So then he decided that I would like to share my knowledge with this king. And the scripture is using a peculiar word, Drupta Balaki. So Drupta means proud. But he was not like Shvetaketu. You have to understand. We have seen the story of the Shvetaketu. And after returning from Gurukula, he was arrogant, unbearable. And his father was a true sadhaka. He asked him, did your teacher teach you the highest truth? And this fellow proudly replied, my teacher doesn't know. Otherwise, he would have taught. He did not know. Some things can be taught without being asked. But some things must be taught only after being asked. So this person never realized there is something I have to ask. Which we see in the Kathopanishad, how Nachiketa asks. And he is so adamant, so firm, that Yamadharma Raja shows him so many temptations, which are extremely rare, but firmly Nachiketa rejects all of them. Nachiketa will not desire any other boon excepting he wants to obtain knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of the Atman. So Shvetaketu was very arrogant, and when he approached a king with the same idea that I will teach, and the king questioned him in turn, 5 questions. He could not answer even one. He got hurt. He came back. He complained to his father. And then his father said, I also do not know the answer. So let us go sit humbly at his feet. But he refused to come. But the father came. He learned. So that kind of arrogance is no good at all for true aspirants. One has to be careful about it. So somebody has to certify you have attained to the highest, not to granting certificate to oneself by oneself. That is why Shukadeva had to go to Janaka to be confirmed. Yes, you are truly a Brahmagnani, Noira Brahman. But Janaka did not simply looking at his face certified him. He tested him for 1 week with absolutely no respect. Second, with the highest respect that is possible and keeping him in the midst of the greatest temptations. Shukadeva's mind did not flicker. Yatha dipo nivatastu ningate sa upama smruta. Just as in a windless place, a lamp never flickers even the slightest. Shukadeva's mind remained absolutely firm. It is also said that Janaka gave him a cup full of oil to the brim and go round this huge room 7 times. And not even one drop of oil had ever spilled out of fear, out of apprehension, out of anxiety. No, his mind was totally what we call, as Patanjali Rishi says, that complete chitta nirodha had taken place. And he was abiding in his own self, tada drashtu swarupe avasthanam. Whereas, we should not compare Gargiya, this young Brahmin boy, to Shvetaketu at all. How do we know? Because he genuinely thought, mistakenly, but genuinely thought, that I know, I want to share it with the king. But when the king countered him and said, I know much more than you, 12 times he says, then this boy realized his knowledge is not up to the mark. He has a lot to learn. And you know what happened? Immediately, instantaneously, he sat down. Of course, that is, Upanishad doesn't say that. Sir, I thought I came to teach you, but I know that I am ignoramus. Acceptance of one's ignorance is the highest knowledge, because that leads to the highest knowledge. So we know later on, so this Brahmin boy, and he learned well, he behaved well, and he was a little bit proud, but at heart he was a very good boy. And he approached Ajatashatru, who is a Kshatriya, a warrior, a king, and he was the king of Kashi. So he approached and said, then the king asked him, sir, what brings you here? He said, I want to teach you Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahma. He thought he had it. Ajatashatru, immediately he said that nowadays everybody is running to teach Janaka, because he was a very generous king, a great king. But so far nobody had approached me. Everybody says, Janaka, Janaka. But nobody takes my name. I am glad that you are gracious enough to choose to teach me. Even whether you teach or not, for that very purpose, I will give you 1,000 cows, like Janaka had offered to Yajnavalkya. That shows the greatness of Ajatashatru. This also shows this Ajatashatru was a Noira Brahman. And we have seen in several places how this even Shvetaketu's father had to approach a Kshatriya in order to learn Brahma Vidya. So here also Ajatashatru was a Noira Brahman. But he did not become proud. He welcomed this young Brahmin boy, showed him all the respect, and when he was offered, I will teach you, said, I will be very happy to sit at your feet and learn, and that very proposal that you came shows your graciousness, I will offer you 1,000 cows. Then a dialogue takes place, beautiful dialogue, that I contemplate, for example, the sun at the highest manifestation of Brahman, like that he says. Then Ajatashatru says, I also worship, but I know about the Saguna Brahma much more than what you know. And I contemplate him as the greatest, most adorable, the brightest, certain qualities, he says. And this is an important point for us to learn how this also has to be understood by us. That the greater the learning, greater will be the humility. Vidya dadati vinayam. Vinayat yati patratvam. The more our learning, the humbler we become. Why? How? Because greater our knowledge, greater will be our humility, because as we understand how little is my knowledge compared to the total knowledge available. So this Ajatashatru was a very humble person, very generous person, highly looking upon everybody as a Brahman. So graciously understood this boy, though even though he thinks he knows everything, actually his knowledge is limited, but I will help him. But he doesn't say it at the beginning. You begin your teaching. So this Gargiya starts his teaching, and in 12 mantras from 2nd to 13, we get this idea. Gradually, 12 aspects of the Saguna Brahma, I worship, I contemplate, I do upasana of the sun, the moon, the lightning, etc. We will see it. And then immediately Ajatashatru, very humbly, so that he won't offend the boy, said, sir, I think I know a little better than you. This is how I worship the same deity whom you mentioned that you worship, and with these qualities. So what is the idea of contemplation upasana? In whatever way we do the upasana, we become that. If I worship Brahman as honor, I become honored. If I worship Brahman as desireless, I become desireless. If I worship Brahman as all-pervading, I become all-pervading. We will see it in the Taittiriya Upanishad, how marvelously these contemplations are coming across to us. So, 12 teachings the Gargiya wants to give to Ajatashatru, but for every contemplation, Ajatashatru's knowledge is much, much deeper. He says, this is what I know, in a most inoffensive manner, very humbly, full of like a great, good, intimate, well-wishing friend advising, and then this Gargiya understands. My knowledge is very little, but then his greatness is, he accepts it. He says, sir, I thought I know everything. Genuinely I thought. But then, now I understand how little is my knowledge. No, I will sit at your feet. You be my teacher. I will be your student. Now the roles are reversed. And Ajatashatru, of course, at first, he declines. It is not in our tradition. Always Brahmins were the teachers, or Kshatriyas were the only, the students, can be students only. But then this Gargiya must have said, sir, whoever knows better, he is a teacher. Whoever knows less, he is a student. So this is how the roles are reversed, and then the teaching comes. So 12 from mantra 2nd, first mantra is the introduction, 2nd to 13, the teachings of Gargiya, so-called teachings of Gargiya to Ajatashatru, and immediately the correction or expansion of the meaning by Ajatashatru continues. So once we understand the essence, what is it? That all these upasanas are extraordinarily valuable. Each upasana gives us a specified result. That is how our mind becomes more and more expansive. That is how we slowly approach, we shed the limitations, slowly expand ourselves until we become identified with the Saguna Brahma completely. In fact, sadhana can go only until we identify with the Saguna Brahma. Thereafterwards, it is not possible to contemplate, because any contemplation is done only through thought, and it is not possible to think of Nirguna Brahman, formless Brahman. In the Gospel we get it, Sri Ramakrishna asks M, how is your meditation going on, with a specific understanding in his mind, because M preferred Nirguna Brahma, formless God, aspect of God, and by the way, formless aspect of God is not Nirguna Brahma. Formless aspect of God is also part of the Saguna Brahma, the universal Brahma. That which has form is highly limited, but its origin is the formless, as we have seen in the sixth section, Uktam. The origin of all namas, names, is a sound. The origin of all forms is the unmanifested formlessness. And the origin of all actions is nothing but prana or Hiranyagarbha. So Saguna Brahma has these two aspects, with form, without form, manifest, unmanifest. But that is not the end. But sadhana can be done with the mind. Without mind, no sadhana can be made. But the limitation of the mind will never allow. And Sri Ramakrishna illustrates this with a marvelous simile or analogy. If somebody's foot is full of thorns because he walked over the thorns, then he gets a bigger thorn, and then he removes that bigger thorn, helps the person get rid of all the smaller thorns. And then he says that bigger thorn also should be thrown away. But who is going to throw away that bigger thorn? He cannot do it. Because to remove that, another thorn. And to remove the second thorn, third thorn. So, ad infinitum, it is not possible. But when once the mind reaches the identity with Saguna Brahma, Saguna Brahma himself reveals his higher aspect, which is called Nirguna Brahman. So, this is going to be the subject matter which we will discuss very briefly. First one or two mantras I will discuss in a little bit of detail, and then we have to do ditto for the rest of the, until what is called upasanas, 12 upasanas, only mentioning what is the upasana and what is the result, and this is all very true. Whoever does it, he becomes like this. This is what Swami Vivekananda says. Great people like Napoleon, their imaginations far outreach ordinary people's imagination. And what is a dream or imagination today becomes a fact tomorrow. And if we want to become great, then our imagination must be expanded. Without doing that, simply saying, I want to be great, is not going to work out. So, how these upasanas are going slowly to take us, remove our individuality, remove the limitations of our true self, and gradually expand our nature until we become one with Saguna Brahma. That would be the subject matter, and we will discuss about it from our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme tayo sritva pranamami muhurmuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.